worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for listening today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Gospel of John chapter 15, beginning at verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Verses 1 through 10, John chapter 15. Father, we thank you once again for the privilege of knowing you and being able to walk with you in prayer. Thank you for the privilege of being able to walk with you as we read and meditate and walk in the wisdom of your word. And thank you, Lord, for the privilege of knowing you and being able to both be a hearer and doer of your word. Father, with every passing day, more and more help us to fall in love with you and with your word more and more, and help us to be believers that recognize the great wisdom and grace found in simply hearing and living a lifestyle of hearing and doing your word. Thank you for the privilege of being disciples and a part of your blessed family. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Park. I want to remind you that we're in the midst of our National Truth for Youth Bible Week. We are inviting you to help us give away lots and lots of free Bibles to teens this week. American Family Radio and Revival Fires International invites you to help us get the Word of God back into our nation's public schools. One free Bible, one free Truth for Youth Bible will be given to every student between the ages of 13 through 18 who promises to pass it along to a friend in school. And our goal is to, as I said, help get the Word back into our public schools. And remember, the Truth for Youth Bible, it consists of the whole New Testament, and it also has full-color comics that present the gospel and moral truths and insights that help you better understand issues that are going on in our culture from a Bible perspective. And remember, the Truth for Youth Bible is now also available in Spanish. Lots and lots of young people have received Christ. In fact, more than 25,000 over the last 15 years as a result of this Truth for Youth project and this cooperative project between American Family Radio and Revival Fires International. Our goal this year is to help get at least 60,000 Bibles into the hands of teens this week. Now remember, parents that are listening, you can order the Bible on behalf of your son or your daughter who is a teen, or teens, you can call and get one yourself. Now, if you're not a teen or a parent of a teen, remember, you can participate, but all you have to do is simply order the Bible. They're only $2. That's a wonderful price for such a valuable evangelism and discipleship tool that this kind of New Testament is. So remember, you can order them for $2 a piece, and you can order large quantities for $2 a piece as well. Two ways to order. You can visit truthforyouth.com, and you can order online anytime. Again, that's truthforyouth.com. Or you can call 1-800-733-4737. Again, that's 1-800-733-4737 between the hours of 8 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Central. Once again, the number 1-800-733-4737 between 8 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Central. We are blessed and honored to have as our phone guest today, Jaquel Ferris. She's the author of the book entitled This Changes Everything, and actually she's a busy servant of the Lord in ministry in other ways as well, but she's an outstanding author as well, and we're going to talk about her book today. Jaquel, how are you today?
I'm doing so well, Pastor Joseph. It is an honor to be here.
Okay, thank you for being with us. And now, since you wrote the book, you have gotten married, correct?
It is true, indeed.
So the book itself says Jaquel Crowe, but now you're Jaquel Thayer. So if you would take time now, Jaquel, to further introduce yourself to our listeners, and then after that, we're going to get into your book, This Changes Everything.
Absolutely. So I am from Canada, so if I say about funny, you'll know why. I was born and raised here, though I also spent some time living in Texas as a kid while my dad went to school. I was raised in a gospel-saturated, rich home by two parents who are completely sold out for the Lord and totally in love with Him and in serving Him and following wherever He leads. I was saved at a pretty young age, but it was really sort of my preteen years and then my teen years where the gospel really started to change my heart in just deep practical ways, and Jesus became real to me, and I started to grow in my faith. And always something that the Lord had put on my heart was a passion I had for writing, and I loved writing. I wrote stories, and when I was 11, I started a blog to start processing what I was learning about in God's Word and in His world, and slowly He began to open doors for me and give me opportunities to write for Him, and when I was 18, an incredible door opened to write this book, and the message of This Changes Everything is a message that changed my life and that I just seek to share with so many other young people because I know it has the power to change their lives. So I wrote the book when I was 18, and then it came out when I was 19. And during that time, I also started a podcast for teenagers with my dad, actually, called Age of Minority. I also started a program for young Christian writers to help them use their gifts to honor God called the Young Writers Workshop. And then I've had some opportunities to travel and speak. And then, as you said, I also got married in that time. So I'm now Jaquel Ferris, or Jaquel Crowe Ferris. And I actually just got married this past March. So that is probably the most exciting, most new thing in my life. But that's a little bit about me.
Okay. Well, thank you for taking the time to further introduce yourself to our listeners. And now, you said you were 18 when you wrote the book. Again, the title, This Changes Everything, and the subtitle, How the Gospel Transforms the Teen Years. If you had to summarize the book and the goal, the mission of the book, what would you say that would be?
Well, I love the subtitle of it because I think that really sums it up. So the subtitle is How the Gospel Transforms the Teen Years. And the basic premise of the book is that you cannot claim to be a Christian and live like nothing has changed. Jesus demands everything. And so He will change absolutely everything in your life. He will change how you act. He will change how you think, how you dress, what kinds of relationships you have. Nothing in your life will be the same once Jesus changes you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Well, you know, in your introducing your book, you indicate that your book is a chicken nugget. Explain that to our listeners.
Sure. So I kind of have two things in mind when I call the book a chicken nugget. So first, I should let you know that I do very much enjoy cooking right now. But when I was younger, I did not like cooking very much, and I didn't know how to cook very much. But I started getting interested in cooking. And when I say cooking, I really mean just putting frozen food in the oven and letting the oven cook for me. But kind of the first thing I got into cooking for myself was chicken nuggets. And so this was, to me, kind of my very first introduction to the next level of maturity, of adulthood. It was not an elaborate meal by any means, but it was the first thing I made that marked a transition for me. And this put in mind the fact that when we look in God's Word, and especially in the New Testament, we see writers like the Apostle Paul who compares spiritual maturity to meat. So he talks about, he admonishes even believers who are still drinking spiritual milk when they should be eating spiritual meat. Mm-hmm. And I think there is a significant problem in many of our churches in that we don't expect or train young Christians, teenagers, to be able or willing to digest spiritual meat. So we sort of continue to give them baby food when teenagers are intelligent enough and mature enough to be fed spiritual meat, to be pushed towards maturity. And so I think of books that are rich in theology. We think of maybe denser books might be considered a steak. But this book, you know, we're not quite there yet. But it's not milk, and so I call it a chicken nugget. I compare it to spiritual maturity in calling this a resource for young Christians who are ready to move past mere milk, but are ready to start digesting the meatier truths of God's word and follow him and grow in discipleship.
Okay. Well, thank you for sharing that kind of summary as well. And now something I want to ask you to comment on before we really get into the details of your book. You know, there's a great need in our culture for believers to understand that the Christian life is not simply about accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior and then living and waiting to go to heaven. We're all called into ministry. God calls all of us to be involved in the work of the Great Commission, to go into the world, to make disciples, which includes the work of evangelism and discipleship. But of course, a big part of that has to do with us being involved, in fact, being mission-minded believers as well. So the need, one of the needs that I think your book really begins to really address this in a wonderful way, the need for us to become serious disciples, followers of Christ. And so just any thoughts before we get into the book about that point?
Oh, sure. I mean, that really is my passion behind it, calling teenagers to more, moving beyond a sort of nominal Christianity and really genuinely challenging them to follow Christ in the way that he commands. Because one thing that I just believe when you look throughout the whole Bible is that God never sells young people short. God has high expectations for our young people. And so we should raise the bar and call our young people to those high expectations too.
That's right. Okay, well, your first chapter is entitled Our Identity. Would you share with our listeners why you felt a need to kind of really address this particular topic in introducing the book, Our Identity?
Sure. Well, I think this is probably one of, if not the biggest issue that young people today are dealing with. They're asking these big questions about identity. The teen years are kind of the time where we start to really question, who am I? Why am I here? How should I live? Is there more to this life? And the culture around us, the world, tries to offer us different answers to these questions, that we can be, you know, a student, that we can be a successful person in society, that we can pursue a good job, that we can go to a good college, that we can be fashionable, that we can be popular. But none of those things have the power to define us in a truly meaningful or lasting way. And so I needed to start with the encouragement that I hope this is, that Jesus is the one person that offers young people the all-satisfying and meaningful identity that they crave. Jesus is the only one who is able to help us adequately answer the question, who am I, in a way that takes away all of our doubt and fear and insecurity. And so for young people who are wondering, who am I? And as I get into this book and talk about how the gospel changes all of these different areas of our lives, I have to start with the most fundamental way. The gospel changes who we are at our very core as people. The gospel changes our identity as humans.
Well, you know, we're coming up on a break in just a few moments, and there is a question I want to ask you about. Just kind of a story you share in the first chapter. So we'll pick up there on the other side of the break. Our phone guest today is Jaquel Ferris. She's the author of the book, This Changes Everything, How the Gospel Transforms the Teen Years. We'll be right back.
And There's a God that walks over the earth. He's searching for a heart that is desperate and longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all, he wants it all. And he says, love me. It all today. Serve me, serve me with your life now. He wants it all today. Bow down, let go of your idols. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all. There's a God that walks over the earth. He's searching for a heart that is desperate, longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all, he wants it all. And he says, love me with your whole heart. He wants it all today. Serve me with your life now. He wants it all today.
Of Forever Jones, the song He Wants It All. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Again, we're in the midst of our National Truth for Youth Bible Week, and we're encouraging you to help us give away lots and lots of free Bibles to teens. Remember, parents, you can order the Bible on behalf of your son or daughter, or teens, you can call and get one. The two ways to get the free Bible, simply go online to truthforyouth.com and order online anytime. Or you can call 1-800-733-4737. Again, that's 1-800-733-4737 between 8 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Central Time. Hope that you get involved. And remember, the goal is to help get the Word of God back into public schools. Hope that you'll be a part of our National Truth for Youth Bible Week this week. Our phone guest today is Jaquelle Ferris. She's the author of the book entitled This Changes Everything, How the Gospel Transforms the Teen Years. Jaquelle, as we begin this segment, I'm going to ask if you'll pray for our listeners to have ears to hear as the Holy Spirit speaks to them about what real discipleship means. Would you pray, please?
Absolutely. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are near to us, even though we may be in so many different locations over the country, over the world. I thank you that your Spirit dwells with your people wherever they are. And I do pray for every person listening right now that you would give them ears to hear, and not what we have to say, but what you have to say to them, that they would be expectant and eager and open to how your Spirit will work in their lives, that we would be good stewards of the messages you have given us, and that those listening would be blessed and encouraged and even changed by you, by your glory, by your worth, and by your work. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jaquelle. Jaquelle, in the first chapter entitled Our Identity in your book, This Changes Everything, you share of an instance where an individual had gone to a youth conference and they heard the message that basically said, being a Christian isn't hard, you won't lose your friends or be unpopular at school, nothing will change, your life will be the same, just better. And that person was actually stunned at the message. Share your thoughts further on that.
Yeah. So this person heard the message, and he looked around. See, this was an adult, but he looked around to see how the young people were responding to this message. And to his surprise, you know, we might think that the young people, you know, were totally into it. They were interested in it. They were fascinated by it because this was making Christianity sound so appealing. It was making it sound so easy. But instead, all of these young people were bored. They weren't paying attention at all, because what even is the attraction in something that invites no risk, that invites no challenge, that invites no change to your life? These young people, despite what we may think, they want more. They want to be challenged. And this is, has been so true in my life. And I knew it would be so true in other young people's lives as well. And so I wanted to include this story in the book to encourage young people to know that they're not alone, and to encourage, you know, pastors and parents who may be reading that young people really do want more.
Mm-hmm. And you know, you also touch on the obvious example from Scripture, Paul. And elaborate on why you chose to put Paul in this chapter as well.
Right. Well, I think Paul is just the perfect example of someone who truly valued Jesus above everything, even though, you know, that got him nothing really of physical value. So Paul is someone that, you know, we read passages where we hear that just for his faith in Jesus, he was beaten, he was stoned, he was shipwrecked, he was imprisoned again and again, he was tortured for his faith and shamed and run out of cities. He experienced so much suffering for his faith in Christ. Yet what did he say? He said, "I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of Jesus Christ." Mm-hmm. To him, Jesus was worth losing everything. Because Paul believed that in Jesus, he gained everything. And I think this is just such a rich, helpful example for young people to see that, no, Jesus does cost you everything. He might cost you your reputation or your popularity. He might even cost you friends. He might even cost you promotions or your dreams. Mm-hmm. But Jesus is worth it. Jesus is so worth it, because he will give you the meaning and significance that you're looking for, and the identity that will satisfy you in every possible way.
That's right. That's right. You know, it brings to mind a young lady that we had on the broadcast not long ago, who she ended up being involved in smuggling Bibles into a communist country. And even before she got saved, she was challenged about the idea of smuggling Bibles, even before she gave her life to Christ. But that was something that she found attractive, a challenge that actually she actually would be putting her life on the line. But you make a powerful point that young people and adults, we want to be challenged. That's a part of who God made us to be. And for something to not have any challenge to it can kind of suck the air out of it, you might say. So that you make a powerful point
there. It's very true.
Mm. Well, the next chapter is entitled "Our Story," and you begin by telling about the first movie that you made. Would you share about that chapter?
Yes, absolutely. So I wanted our story to come very closely after our identity, because first we've talked about ourselves, but now we need to talk about what is this thing that a young person should live for. And so I had to start this chapter, as we're talking about stories, with a movie that I made. So when I was younger, I have one brother who's 2 years younger than me. He and I got quite into very amateur movie making. I had won a little camera from a magazine contest when I was about 10, I believe, 10 or 11.
Mm-hmm.
And so the very first movie I made was actually by myself. It was a terrible, terrible quality movie. And I remember editing it on my parents' computer and putting up the credits, and, you know, it's just written by Jaquel Crowe, filmed by Jaquel Crowe, starring the one and only Jaquel Crowe.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if my brother was busy that day or what, but I was the only person in this movie, and I did everything. And it was called Mystery on Warren Street, because, you know, yes, I lived on Warren Street, and I just was not very creative at the time, apparently. And it consisted of me walking around the empty house that was next door to me, and inventing, you know, terrible crimes and a dramatic mystery that had happened within the its walls, and pretending that there was a magical treasure buried in there. And then it also turned into a musical, and I wrote and sang some very terrible songs about it that was, you know, also written by me. But as the movie was very silly and very childish, but I had so much fun making it for a reason that I think is pretty universal for both kids and adults alike. And it's this: humans love stories. We connect to stories in a deep and truly spiritual way, I believe. And I think that God made us like that. And I think that makes sense when we look at God's word, because God invites us to live in the context of a story. And God frames his own work in this world as a story. And so in this chapter, I really talk about the story of the gospel that begins with creation, God making this world for his glory, making humans for his glory to follow him and to live fruitfully and abundantly, and the humans rebelling against this good God and choosing to trust in themselves instead and turning to their own ways, and then reaping the punishment of that as their relationship with God was fractured and they put distance between themselves and God, and they messed everything up, and there was no way for them to repair this relationship with God. There was no way for them to get back to God, and so God came down to us, and God fixed the relationship between himself and humans in a way that humans never could. God incarnate, Jesus Christ, came down to this world he created, and he lived a perfect life that we could never live, never once making a mistake, never once stumbling or sinning. And he died a sacrificial death for the sins of all who would turn from their own rebellion and trust in him. And he rose from the dead, victorious over death, and commissioned his disciples and his followers to go and share this story with the world. And so in this chapter of the book, I really want to communicate to the young people reading, or to the parents or the pastors reading, just the beauty of this story and how truly understanding this story changes our own part in our lives, because our own part in this world, because now we are a part of this story. The gospel changes our lives and invites us to live in a new way as a child of God in this world. And so that's really the focus of this chapter and kind of the heart of the whole book.
Okay. You know, one of the truths that brings to mind is the fact that, you know, like if you ask your average believer how many stories in the Bible, you know, people would say many different numbers, but the reality is the Bible really is one story. It's the story that you just summarized, the story of how God created man, he fell in sin, and God sent Jesus to save us. And it's a wonderful story, an extended story, but a beautiful one as well. I want to ask Jaquel, if you'll take a moment now to pray for the church, to pray that the church would more and more rise up to recognize the need for us to carry this story to a world that desperately hears it. Because, you know, it's not a story for entertainment. It's a story that carries truths that transform people's lives as they hear it and walk in the truth that is found in that story. Would you pray for the church in that regard?
Absolutely. Let's do it. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for sending Jesus Christ to this world to be our substitute and to be a sacrifice for us. And I thank you that you've invited us to live in this story, to participate in your story. And I thank you for the church and for raising up this group of believers who are ready to live and walk in your way and follow your words and your wisdom. And I do pray that you would give us the boldness and the courage and the strength that we need to carry your story out to your world. We know that you have entrusted us with this message that you call a ministry of reconciliation, that you have invited us to go out into a broken world and preach the news of reconciliation, that we have been saved and they can be saved too, that you invite them to lasting joy and peace and purpose, and that you have commanded us to go out and preach the gospel to all nations, to make disciples as you've commanded. And I pray that the church would heed this call, that those listening, that me, that Pastor Joseph, that everyone involved would heed this call to grow and to go and to follow wherever you lead, to not keep this news and the story to ourselves, but to shout it from the rooftop as we participate in the story for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jaquel. Jaquel, now, how old did you say you were when you received Christ?
I do not remember the exact day or age, but I believe I was around four, when I first prayed to receive Christ. By God's grace, though, I honestly, I don't remember the day, and I don't remember a time that I was living in rebellion actively. Of course, I know that day, it was that day, but by God's grace, I just don't remember.
Okay. Well, and, you know, of course, that's a very, very young age, but of course, the reality is the important thing is that every individual makes that step to receive Christ as their Lord and Savior. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the powerful things that's, I think, a truth behind your book is that, again, you're challenging believers to get involved in the work of being faithful disciples, which, again, certainly is a part of this, is being believers that are involved in ministry. And, we touched on this earlier. One of the tragedies in our culture today, and at least in our church culture, is you have many believers that seem to think that, well, you give your heart to Jesus and you go to church and just some of those specific things, and it can be kind of ho-hum. But we'll pick up on the other side. Our phone guest today is Jaquel Ferris. She's the author of the book, This Changes Everything, How the Gospel Transforms the Teen Years. We'll be right back.
Our Father, which art in heaven, yeah, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Music from the Walls Group, the song simply entitled The Prayer. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Once again, we're reminding you that we're in the midst of our National Truth for Youth Bible Week, and we're encouraging you to help us to give away lots and lots of Bibles to youth, to teens specifically. American Family Radio and Revival Fires International invite you to help us get the Word of God back into our public schools. You know, many years ago, back in the 1700s and into the 1800s as well. You know, the Bible was actually a textbook in our public schools. You know, it would be wise if we made it the main textbook in schools today as well. But one way we can help at least get the Bible back into the hands of our teens is through this project. So again, keep in mind, thousands of young people receive Christ through this particular project, more than 25,000 over the last 15 years. And our goal this year is to help get 60,000 Bibles, at least 60,000, into the hands of teens just this week. So again, if you like to, parents, if you want to order the Bible on behalf of your son or daughter who is a teen, or if a teen is listening and wants to call to get one, simply go online to truthforyouth.com and you can order online anytime. Again, truthforyouth.com, or you can call this number, 1-800-733-4737. Again, that's 1-800-733-4737 between the time of 8 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Central Time. So hope that you will do that. And keep in mind, if you happen to be an individual that you don't have any teens in your home and don't have any immediate contact with teens, but you'd like to get some of the Bibles to use for ministry purposes, remember, you can also order large quantities of the Bible for just $2 a piece plus shipping. So hope that you'll consider doing that as well. But please pray much for the Lord to greatly bless this project. Pray that God will help us to go far beyond the goal of reaching at least 60,000 teens with the truth of God's Word placed in their hands. Our phone guest today is Jaquel Ferris. She's the author of the book, This Changes Everything, How the Gospel Transforms the Teen Years. And I want to mention, too, to our listeners, if you would be interested in getting a copy of the book, for example, parents, if you'd like to get the copy for one of your teens in your home, or if you know a teenager that you'd like to get the book for, I'm going to give you my email, and I'm going to say that the second person to email me, jparker@afa.net, we can give the book to that individual. Simply email me and say, I'd like to get the book to give to a teen in my home or a teen that I know. Again, my email is jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. Email me and let me know you want to get the book to give to a teen. Again, either in your home or a teen that you know, we'd be glad to get it into your hand. So email us today if you'd like to do that, and we want to give it to the second person to email us. Okay. Again, Jaquel, and as we go into our last segment here, we won't get to touch on all the chapter titles, but I want to ask if you'll address this. One of the chapters is entitled Our Community. Share the message behind that chapter and the thought, the truths behind that chapter.
Sure. So the idea behind that chapter is that many young people today, in an increasingly independent society, are starting to believe that they don't need a spiritual community. They specifically don't need the spiritual community of a local church. And I think when we look at the pattern of the New Testament and what God's vision is, I think that's terribly misguided and mistaken. And so my passion with this chapter is to communicate how much young Christians need the local church, and in the same vein, to remind the church, especially adults, why they need young people, that teenagers bring unique gifts and talents and perspectives to the church that build it up and bless it in a totally special way, and that teenagers themselves, they're not second-class Christians, but they are called to love the church and to serve the church and to worship with the church and be held accountable to the church. And we shouldn't, again, have these low expectations for young people. If they claim to follow Christ, we should totally and truly and gladly assimilate them into our body. So the idea is that young people need Christian community in the church, and the Christian community needs young people.
Well, Jaquel, I want to ask if you'll take a moment specifically to pray for believers listening to grasp the truths you're speaking of, too, in it, because there would be many who might would think, I'm a believer, but I don't need church, and I don't see the need for it. And again, I think so many times churches are often thinking along the lines of, well, we've been doing the way we do church for many years, and we don't plan to change. and don't realize that our message never changes, but the wisdom to apply that is supposed to change. And the way that, so pray for the church to really grasp the truth you're speaking of and walk in that wisdom, would you please?
I will. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the church. I thank you that we read in your word that Christ died for the church, that you loved the church so much that you repaired the church's broken relationship with you. The church is called your bride, that you call the church a family, that you call the church a body. You compare it to a literal human body when you say that every member of the church has a unique part to play and that every member of the church needs each other. I pray that you would help those listening to see for maybe the first time or to be reminded anew that your plan for the world, it starts with the church. You have commissioned the church to go and be disciples for you, and that you have called your people to gather together into local churches to get the fellowship and the community and the teaching and the accountability that we so desperately need. I thank you that the church is a gift, and I pray that those listening would see this and grasp this and understand that the church is a part of your plan for the world, and that the church is good, and that you are the one who created it, not people, and that you would help them to truly love the church as you love the church first. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jacquel. Well, the additional titles include Our Sin, Our Disciplines, Our Growth, Our Time, and Our Relationships. I want to ask if you'll touch on at least two of the topics, our disciplines and our growth, before our time runs out.
Certainly. So these chapters kind of go hand in hand together. So in our growth, I talk about how, again, to come back to the spiritual food analogy, the milk and the meat, that young Christians, all Christians, need to grow just like plants. So I am very bad at keeping plants alive. I'm fostering some avocado plants right now that are doing okay. I've kept 3 out of 4 alive, but in general, I am not very good at keeping plants alive. But I know that you're supposed to keep plants alive. I know that plants either grow, they thrive, or they die. And I think the exact same is true with believers. And one of the significant ways that young people grow is through discernment, through being able to train their senses to tell the difference between what is right and what is wrong when that comes to music and entertainment and movies and books and even sermons and spiritual teaching they hear. And that an important part in discipleship and for the parents and pastors and youth workers listening is training young people to be discerning members. And this kind of goes hand in hand with talking about our disciplines as well, because this brings it back to the idea that young people are capable of so much more than we often expect, and that young Christians are not second-class Christians, and that they are called to the same good tasks of obedience that God calls all believers to. So they are called to read God's word for themselves and to pray and to memorize God's word and to share the gospel with others. All of these things that we've been talking about, that through those things, God will bless them and they will grow. And it's through doing these acts of discipline that should ultimately be driven by delight, not merely duty, they will grow. So these chapters really go together and call young people to this higher standard of following Christ in the way that Christ calls all of his disciples to.
Well, you've covered a lot of ground in the last few moments there, Jacquel. I appreciate you sharing that. You know, something that I would add or just interject as well is, sadly, you have many, it seems that many believers in the body of Christ, it seems, aren't told the steps and or the disciplines that help us to grow. And it's good that you would touch on those, because it seems that there are too many believers who no one has ever taught or helped them to really grasp that we're all called to be faithful students of the Word of God who read and meditate on the Word of God every day. Many believers sadly hadn't been taught the critical importance of the discipline of not only reading the Word every day, the discipline of praying every day. And of course, obviously, both hearing the Word of God and doing what the Word of God as well. And as one preacher put it, he said, we're called to be pro-Christians. Pro refers to the three letters, taking the first letter of each word, three basic areas of discipleship: to pray daily, to read the Word daily, and obey the Word daily. Well, again, and you've touched on these beautifully, and before our time ends, would you pray for believers to grasp the need for us to make spiritual disciplines a vital part of our daily lives?
Certainly. Dear Heavenly Father, you know that we need you, and we need your Word, and we need you to speak to us, and we know that you have done that, and you've given us the resources that we need to grow and to be changed and made more and more like the image of your Son. And I do pray for those listening. I pray for me and Pastor Joseph and every Christian that you would remind us of the power that is in your Word, the power that comes from praying to you, communing with you daily, and the power that comes from obeying you, that these are the things you use in our lives to transform us, to bring us more joy, more peace, and ultimately a stronger relationship with you. And I pray that you would continue to renew our hearts and help us grasp these truths in a way that truly changes everything in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jaquel. Jaquel, our time is just about gone. If someone wants to get in touch with you or your ministry or learn more about you, do you have a website or some way someone could be in touch with you or your ministry?
I do, yeah. So my website is still under my maiden name. So you can go to jaquellcrowe.com. That's JAQUELLECROWE.com. You can also find me pretty much anywhere on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at Jaquel Ferris. So social media or my website are the best ways to contact me.
All right. Jaquel, thank you so much for being with us today. It's been an honor and a privilege to have you. And thank you for writing the book as well. Keep up the great work.
You're so welcome.
Okay.
Thank you.
Keep up the great work and serving the Lord. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for being a part of our listening family. As always, we appreciate you listening to the Hour of Intercession. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.